Do any of you here today know what it is like to be downcast? Do any of you here today know what it is like to be burdened by a feeling of spiritual and emotional heaviness? Of course you do. Of course you do. None of us are exempt from pain and suffering. And even the sincerest of Christians experience seasons of sadness. And this certainly was the case for the Apostle Paul. But the great encouragement that we gain from this text is that Paul did not remain downcast. Because God did something for Paul. God brought real comfort and encouragement to Paul in his season of trial. So this morning, I want to focus our attention in chapter 7, verses 4 through 6. But before we wade through these few verses, I want us to settle our minds for the moment on the word downcast. It is the word Paul chooses, and in the most common translation of the original Greek is this word downcast. Those of you who grew up reading the King James Bible will read the same Greek word translated, those who are cast down. If you have a New American Standard translation, the word is translated as depressed. So you see what Paul is talking about. He's talking about a God who deals with people who are brought low, people who are cast down, people who are depressed. Paul's not talking about having occasional bouts of melancholy here. Paul's not talking about having an off day. Paul's talking about an experience of pain and suffering that has literally brought him to the ground. It has reduced him to the ground. I don't mean to be unduly personal here, but as I reflected on the most painful moments in my own life, I realized that those moments had this in common. That my lowest moments didn't simply bring me low emotionally, but those seasons of pain also brought me low physically. And I think we know this. If we've had an experience of acute pain, acute sadness, our instinctive response is to go to the ground. To go to our knees, to go face first in the pillow on our bed, and to weep. Because when things are tough, we're not only emotionally brought down, we're physically brought down. As I look out this morning, I suspect that many of you know the kind of sadness that can deliver a takedown blow. Paul certainly knew this. But Paul got up again. And that's why I'm so interested in this text. Because Paul found profound encouragement amid his suffering. And so I believe his testimony will encourage us today. Look at verse 4. The tone of Paul's testimony is surprisingly positive given his circumstances. Paul says, I'm greatly encouraged. In all our troubles, my joy knows no bounds. First, let us know that Paul is not in denial about his own troubles. Paul does not engage in a kind of mental trickery where he imagines that everything's just fine when it really isn't. Paul says, in all our troubles, my joy knows no bounds. And unless we are familiar with Paul's troubles, we'll miss the full impact of that statement. Do you remember from a few weeks ago, we had a list up on the screen and it was read, a list from this book, but chapter 11, a list of Paul's troubles and afflictions. It was a long list. If you want to know what Paul's been through, he's been beaten up times without number. He's been repeatedly whipped. He's been stoned and left for dead. Paul's been in prison. He's been shipwrecked. He's been harmed by foreigners. He's been harmed and betrayed by his own countrymen. And the list goes on. Paul describes his troubles further in this chapter, verse 5. He says, "When we came to Macedonia, this body of ours had no rest, but we were harassed at every turn. Conflicts on the outside and fears within." Here we see that Paul's troubles are not limited to what is happening to him, but they extend also to what is happening in him. And that's what severe trials do, don't they? In some cases, we would admit the physical harm we have endured is less severe than the mental and the emotional anguish which follows and sometimes even lingers. It seems that there is no aspect of suffering that Paul has yet to experience. Nevertheless, he says to the Corinthians, "I am greatly encouraged. In all my troubles, my joy knows no bounds." I don't know about you, but I read that. I'm like, Paul, how'd you do that? I want to get there because I know the feeling of being brought low, but I want to join you. I want to be able to get up again. How did you get there? Where did Paul find this encouragement amid such great and heavy hardship? Paul's answer is that he gained encouragement and he gained joy from the Lord. Paul gained his encouragement and he received his joy from the Lord. And now before we're tempted to write off such a response as being trite or simplistic, let's look at precisely what Paul says. He says we're harassed at every turn. Conflicts on the outside, fears within. But God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus. Here Paul gives us both a theological answer and a very practical answer, and the two are inseparable. The theological remedy is that Paul belongs to a God who cares about depressed people. Paul belongs to a God who cares about people in pain. That's the theological answer. The practical remedy is that Titus showed up, that a human being, that a friend showed up. And Paul connects these two things. These two things are related. As Paul discerns it, God had come to him. God had comforted him through Titus's arrival. As Paul discerns it, God had sent his encouragement through a human being. Friends, this is entirely consistent with what we learned about last Sunday, when Paul identified followers of Christ as ambassadors for Christ. When we hurt, when sadness overcomes us and brings us low, God has an immensely practical remedy for His children. God provides His hurting children with a Titus. God provides you and me with spirit-filled individuals who have the unique capacity to incarnate God's comfort and concern for us. Philip Yancey has a best-selling book entitled, "Where is God When It Hurts?" Where is God when it hurts? And if you can get your hand on this book, it's an excellent book. And Yancey is not a theologian, he's a journalist. So it's an easy read. Where is God when it hurts? Well, Yancey in his book, I guess I'm giving it away, but I'm just giving you a sentence. Yancey answers his question by asking another question. Instead of asking, where is God when it hurts, Yancey wants us to ask, where is the church when it hurts? Where is the church when it hurts? And Yancey asked this second question, understanding the biblical principle that we find here. That the church is the means by which a spiritual God functions in a physical environment. This is very important. And you can substitute the church with the Christian, but it applies to us individually and it applies to us collectively. The church, the Christian, is the means, the ordained means, by which a spiritual God chooses to function in a physical environment. Just as God comforted Paul through the coming of Titus, He intends to comfort you and me by the provision of Christian brothers and sisters. Now here's my worry with that. Here's my observation with that. I fear that very few Christians take advantage of this principle. I say this observing how common it is. And I was reflecting this morning, I spend every Sunday in a church. And when you're in a particular church for any length of time, you get a sense for who's coming, who's going, who's missing, who's present, who's been away a long time. And this is what I've observed. So it's anecdotal, it's not statistical, is that it is a common thing for followers of Jesus to stay away from the church when they're in pain. I don't have statistics to back that up. I only have my own observations as I look out from this place Sunday by Sunday. Anecdotally, my observation is, and this is generally true, there are exceptions, of course, is that when followers of Jesus Christ are in a season of pain and suffering, they're more likely to stay away from Christian fellowship. My experience has been that when all is well, when life is good, when the seas of life are calm, that's when you see people on Sunday morning. But when things are coming apart at the seams, when the storms of life are descending, I'm sad to report that many take that season and they stay away from church. But if we do this, we're missing out on God's ordained means for comforting us. Because the church is the means ordained by God, a spiritual God, to bring comfort in a physical environment. Based on what we read from the Apostle Paul, our pain and our suffering should drive us to this place. That there should be no place on earth we would rather be when it hurts than right here. We should be driven here to find our Titus, to find the person that God has ordained to bring comfort to us in our day of trouble. But I want you to know, Paul was actually looking for Titus. He was looking for Titus. He wasn't sitting around thinking, I need some help, I need some encouragement, things aren't well, I hope someone comes and cheers me up. Paul was not sitting there moping. He was not resigning himself to a life of pain. He was looking for Titus. He was looking for comfort. We see this if we flip back to chapter 2 of 2 Corinthians. In chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, Paul tells us, now when I went to Troas, I still had no peace of mind. He's saying, I went to Troas looking for comfort, and I was still really upset, because I did not find my brother Titus there. See, he was looking for Titus. So what did he do? I said goodbye to them. I said, you know, folks, the persons of Troas, you're nice people and all, but I'm looking for Titus. So off I go to Macedonia. Paul is looking for Titus. Do you see his determination? He's hurting. He's looking for Titus, and he's not going to stop until he finds him. Part of me wishes that obtaining God's comfort were more automatic than this. Part of me wishes that obtaining God's comfort were easier than this. But because obtaining God's comfort isn't always automatic, I need to exhort you this morning as Paul did. Seek Christian fellowship. Find yourself a Titus to incarnate God's comfort for you. Because God does not intend for you to face your suffering alone. God purposes and promises to always be with you. And the way He does that is through one of His own. Through a Christian brother or sister who comes alongside. Look at it again. God who comforts the downcast. God who comforts the depressed. Comforted Paul by the coming of Titus. Now at this point we may be curious to ask, what exactly did Titus do that was so encouraging? What did Titus say to Paul that was so uplifting? It is interesting to see that Paul does not mention a single thing that Titus said. Not a single thing. Not a word is recorded for our benefit. No inspiring quote from Titus can be found in 2 Corinthians. Nor is anything written about what Titus did. Paul simply acknowledges his timely and providential arrival. I think Philip Yancey has it right. Yancey says it's not our words or our insights that hurting people want most. It is our mere presence. Perhaps your own experience confirms this. Mine certainly does. As I reflect on those painful moments in my own life, I can immediately bring to my mind those individuals who stood with me when I was in pain. Curiously, I cannot recall a word that any of them said to me. I do not remember a single word of it. I only recall that they stood with me and that their presence was enough. I want to take a few moments to bring some application for us. Because I think the first half of this message, if you're in the category of knowing pain, if you're in the category of knowing suffering and trials, the first half of this sermon should simply be good news to you. And the only application is go find a Titus. Go seek comfort, because there's lots of comfort waiting for you. God wants you to be comforted. But I want to take a few moments to talk about another, what I hope is an obvious application from this text. It has already been suggested that we will experience suffering in this life. It's already been suggested that no single person will be exempt from pain in this life. But for some of you, the season of pain and suffering might not be today. There may be some among us today who are not feeling this pain. Some among us today for whom life is grand. It's a season of ease for you, a season of prosperity for you. And if that's you, you might be sitting here thinking this morning, well, this is a really encouraging text. I'm sure that so-and-so over there who's been through such-and-such is really appreciating this message. If I had known it was going to be about people in pain and suffering, I might have picked a different Sunday. But here I am, and it's good to know that the pastor's bringing a text to bear on the lives of those who are hurting. But that's not my experience. If you're among those who are sitting here today thinking, I'm not in a season of difficulty. I'm not in a season of trial. There is a necessary application for you. If things are good and grand for you right now, there is an imperative that I need you to apply. You must be a Titus for someone in pain. That is your role. If you are strong, it's not enough for you to feel strong. You must apply your strength for the benefit of someone who is weak. If you are in a time of ease, you must be a Titus to someone who needs you. The Christian church has sometimes been described or compared to a hospital. And I think this is a very fair comparison, because not all of us are well. Some of us have been severely wounded by things that have happened to us. But some of us are well. Some of us are equipped to help others. Some of us have come this morning as patients in need of assistance. Some of us have come this morning as nurses, able to provide help. Some of us have come as a hurting Paul. And some of us have come as a helping Titus. If we are a Paul, we must not conceal and hide our wounds. If we are a Paul, we must not hide from Christian fellowship. And if we are a Titus, we must not neglect the responsibility of seeking out those who need our encouragement. Remember how this turns out as Paul and Titus come together. Paul moves from despair to great encouragement. He says, even amid great challenges and trouble, he says, my joy knows no bounds, no boundaries, even in trouble. Friends, I want this to be your experience. What Paul writes about in 2 Corinthians 7, the joy he has in trouble, I want that for each of you. And in a crowd this size, we can reasonably estimate the spectrum of troubles being dealt with by those here today. We can assume that some of you here today are grieving. Someone very dear to you, a beloved, has died, and you've not gotten past that. Some of you are grieving. Some of you are weighed down. Some of you are weighed down by the breakdown of a very important personal relationship. And this has made a mark on you. Some of you are struggling under the aggravation of a physical ailment. You're not able to do today the things you once could. Some of you are anxious about whether or not you will have adequate resources to meet your financial obligations. Some of you are wrestling with doubts. Some of you are wrestling with doubts about God. Doubts about whether God cares about you. Whether God cares about your predicament. Whatever your troubles are, whatever is the source of your sadness, I want you to know with all sincerity, we are here to help. In this place are Tituses, manifestations of God's concern. In this place are Tituses who are eager to show up for you in your day of trouble. You may be downcast. You may have been knocked down by the challenges in your life. But I want you to know, God intends to pick you up again. And as you leave this morning, I don't want any of you to doubt for a second God's concern for the downcast. I don't want any of you to doubt for a second God's concern for you. I do not want to sound trite when I coin the common phrase, God loves you. We say that so tritely. I say that in the context of a passage where we are assured of God's concern. I want you to be assured of God's concern. I want you to be assured of His love, His intense love for you. Amen.